little word of explanation about today's message. We tend to read, I think, the Easter stories year after year, and I think almost domesticate them and lose some of the sense of the emotion that the events of that Easter day must have brought up in people of the time. And one of the people that's always struck me has been Mary Magdalene, going to a tomb, and then we heard the account from Scripture today. Years ago, I heard a song that to me captured some of what I thought Mary must have been feeling. And Sarah Soley agreed to sing that song as part of the message today. Unfortunately, her father's health took a turn and she needed to leave town to be able to take care of him, but came up with an alternative. And so thanks to her and Barbara Piercy for recording the accompaniment, sending it to her. Sarah then recorded the pieces, sent them back here, and on short notice, Rob and Ray fit them in to the service today. So I want to thank everybody for their efforts to make what I hope was a good idea of mine actually still occur. So thank you to everyone who has helped. I think Mary Magdalene went to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday almost walking on automatic pilot. Jesus was gone. She had wanted to follow him, follow his teachings. But now that he was gone, I'm sure she had all kinds of questions about what he'd said, what he'd left unsaid, how he expected followers to carry on without him. When he was alive, there was no doubt people could feel the truth of his words. But now, I'm sure in her mind, the truth kind of felt like a song and she could only remember part of it. And the words alone felt lonely without him. And then to her surprise and wonder, the tomb was empty. Her thinking at first stayed trapped in the framework of loss and death. So she just assumed somebody had stolen the dead body. And now she didn't even have that. Trapped in a viewpoint of death, she then failed to recognize Jesus at first as he popped into visibility by her. Recognition came. There was joy. You know, she went from despair to joy in an instant. She reached to embrace him, but he said, "No, don't touch me." How can you relate to a teacher you can no longer touch? How does one relate to what are in effect intangible clues about how your life should go forward? Let's listen to Mary.
What intangible clues?
even after Jesus spoke to her, the haze, I'm sure, of questions in her mind and uncertainty about the future was not cleared up immediately. Mary wanted to hold on to him, to keep him there with her. She wanted a solid certainty with which she could end the story of Jesus and her relationship with him. And in fact, she was going, look, tell me the secret, teacher. Help me select which way to go. Here he says, I'm going to ascend to my Father, and basically, which in effect says, doesn't matter where I'm going, you couldn't get there with me right now. In other Gospels, he said, I am going to Galilee, tell my followers to meet me there. In each case, he was trying to say, keep step with the dance of salvation that is still going on, even as Jesus the dancer disappeared before her eyes. How do you keep step with an invisible dancer moving ahead in life? You have to be willing to take a chance. Let's listen to Mary again.
Is it fair? Should I care? Jesus, where did you think you were leading me? Just a maze full of haze, too many ways for me to go. And I asked where the secret was kept, but he would not answer.
How can I refuse? The song ends where we need to start today. For after roughly 2,000 years facing the resurrection, the question is, how can we refuse the good news? Well, first, we can refuse it when we feel that life goes on like it did before, that there is no big change in the evil in the world around us or within our own hearts. The disciples had fled the cross and were nowhere to be seen at the start of Easter morning, because in their eyes, Roman power and the evil of the empire had had the last word. We can also refuse the good news when we try to go back to a routine of life as if the familiar could save us. Mary called out Rabboni, which was her favorite term for her teacher. But Jesus was no longer simply a teacher on this world. He couldn't stay as he had been despite Mary's calling out. And like Mary, we cannot cling to the hope that Jesus will take us back to the way it was in happier days. Easter tells us that the only way out of darkness is moving ahead, and the only one who can lead the way is the risen Savior. How can we refuse? We can deny the ongoing reality of God's resurrecting power, which in itself is then a denial of the ongoing presence of the living Lord. We can't make the resurrection simply a doctrine to which we pledge allegiance. Well, I believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. Because what the Gospels ask and what I think Jesus asks us through them is not, do you believe in the doctrine of the resurrection, but have you encountered the risen Christ, at least in spirit? Mary finally realized that what matters is not that we be confident of our hold on Jesus, but rather that we be confident of his hold on us as he moves ahead into carrying out God's plan for salvation. After the resurrection, things did not return to the way they were before, and that is the good news. And it's basic to everything else the New Testament proclaims. After seeing the risen Savior, we see that our old understandings of normal and expected have been broken. And all we can know for sure is that a risen Savior is on the loose within this world, and he knows our name, and he calls us, and we can answer, how could we refuse? Amen.